So. Everybody say so. How do you spell that? S-O-S-E-W and S-O-W. Where are the farmers at? Come on. Today, I want to talk to you about so peaceful. S-O-W, so peaceful. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, if you want to turn there. And I'm going to quote a lot of scripture today, so keep your Bibles, your phones, your iPads, your computers, whatever you've got. I remember there was a time when some people sat with computers. I used to, a lot of times I go to a conference, I still do. If there were conferences to go to, right now there aren't. But I like to sit down with a laptop so I can make notes and jot down all the scriptures. And it just helps it resound and helps me remember it. So it never hurts to take notes. If you're at home, put the Captain Crunch down a second. Go grab your... Okay, never mind. Anyway, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I still have this memorized in my head from when I was a Jesus freak. Everything back then was in the King James Version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance. I'm kind of glad that self-control replaced temperance in the New King James Version, because people are like, what's that? I don't understand. You know, there are reasons why we have updated some of our versions of the Bible. And I know there are some people out there, well, this version's better than that version. There's always going to be a version that's better than the other version, depending on which verse you look at, just so you'll know. But unless thou dost intend fully to speaketh in the King James, thou probably dost need a newer version. Just a thought. Anyway, since peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit, some people argue that it's not the fruits of the Spirit, but that it's the fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit contains all of these things, one fruit containing all. I don't think it makes enough difference to matter, really. We can fight over, you know, tenses and all sorts of things in the Greek, but peace is important for our lives. And peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So since it's fruit of the Spirit, where does peace come from? Well, the Spirit, but it describes it as the fruit of the Spirit. Think about that just for a second. Any of you have any fruit trees? Not very many. Couple. Yeah. And the fruit, it grows. And one of the beautiful things about fruit is, you know, depending on how hard the tree works, blooms, awesome. Starting to get little tiny apples there. Look at that. Do you ever see a tree do that? No. Trees don't have to work hard to bear fruit. They just stay planted. They get nourished, they get what they need, and the fruit comes. But, you know, we do have to sow for fruit to happen. For plants to be fruitful, they have to, you know, you have to plant your, you know, corn crop, your wheat crop, your oats. You know, they have to be planted, and then they will bear fruit. In the case of this word, it doesn't necessarily mean just like fruit, like, you know, well, wheat's not a fruit. No, well, it's talking about the fruitfulness of any vine. And the value of that. So, you know, it's plants that we're talking about today. We're talking about sowing so we can be so fruitful, so peaceful. And so we have to kind of put stuff in the ground in order for it to grow. If it grows, then we can reap it. And I just want you to have that thought as we start to look at some verses today. Because as we sow peace, we ourselves can reap a harvest of peace, and we can reap enough to help bring peace to others who need it. So we're going to look at several scriptures. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And I'll go kind of quickly if your little thumb can't, hit Romans 5:1 real quick, or if you're flipping through your Bible, I'll hear the flip, 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 flip. But I'm just gonna go for them. I'll read them out loud to you so you don't have to, but if you want to, write them down. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, faith, a lot of times we think of faith almost as though it's, well, because there's a verse that says faith is the substance of things hoped for. We almost think of it as a commodity. And I think there's value in that. But sometimes you just have to boil it back down to you can't grab it kind of a thing. It's not like I can just pick faith up. I can't go down to the faith store and just buy me a box of faith. It really comes down to thinking of it this way sometimes. You realize faith is just that trust in God, that sense that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. So when you think of it as trust, it's not quite as faith, like I said, looks like something that we have a substance of. Trust is more of a how we feel about something or what comes out of us towards someone else. This kind of faith is active and it's alive and it's continuous. And it's something that we place in someone else. Or if you will, it's planted. That makes sense? So we are justified because we've planted our faith in what Jesus did for us. We've sown it into what he already did for us. And it's not an accident, and it's not something that we do once. Trust is something that's ongoing. Like we can't, well, I trusted God in vacation Bible school when I was 5, and I'm good. It's an ongoing experience that we have with God. It's not something we did, it's something we do. So when things are around us get kind of nuts, when things get scary, when things feel like they're out of control, it's that time when we need to take action and place our faith. If you will, plant your faith again. Put in some new seeds. Look to grow something that God wants to grow inside of you and place our trust in him again. It might be as simple as making a declaration or grabbing your Bible and finding a promise that applies to what you're experiencing. It might be as complicated as walking on water. That's really not complicated. You step out. Now, sometimes we end up like Pete, get in a little deep over our head. But the point is, there are times when we have to step or take action, actions of trust, actions of faith. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says this about peace, because I'm talking about peace here. So we place our faith in God, our trust in God, and he gives us peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mentioned this passage last week. Some of you remember. And it's just, I got to mention it again, because if you're going to talk about peace, this is probably one of my favorite verses to talk about peace. Prayer, petition, and thanksgiving position us for peace. That's kind of part of the sowing process that we need in our lives. Prayer alone will do a great deal. But by adding petition, which is, you've signed a petition. I mentioned this last week. So I've added others to my petition. Others are agreeing with me. Prayer of agreement's a powerful thing, the scripture says. And then we add on top of that thanksgiving, remembering what God has already done for us. Those things create a dynamic by which we can see what we need come. And the peace that passes understanding is often what we need to come. Think of it this way. Prayer is like planting, petition is like watering, And thanksgiving is like giving it all the light in the sun that it needs. It's a great way to grow peace. It's a great way to grow peace. But let's not just stop there. Let's move on to the next verses, 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. The things which you heard and received, you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, this passage, I have actually just taught on it all by itself. You can break down every word into something that you talk about. I won't do that today for time's sake. Oh, yeah, heck, we can stay here till 3, can't we? All right, never mind. But I read this verse, and then sometimes I wonder to myself whether I ever really should be watching the news. I mean, watch the news so you can find whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely. These things rarely make up a newscast. Sometimes there'll be this, you know, they'll have this little spotlight of good news. Have you ever seen those little spotlights of good news? Oh, this cool thing happened, and you know, and it's refreshing. I actually like it. But yeah, it's not usually the way things go. And you know, is there anything praiseworthy or virtuous or of good report? That makes it tough. Some of you are very happy because you don't watch the news. Some of us who are a little bit news hounds, we don't want to hear this right now. Don't tell me this, Pastor Tim. I get it. I'm kind of that way too. I like to know what's going on. I'm just curious. But when we think the way this verse tells us to think, it attracts the God of peace. Think about that. Do I want to attract the God of peace? This is yes. Yeah. How many of you think that if the God of peace was hanging around with you, you might just have more peace? That would be pretty natural, wouldn't it? If I'm hanging with the God of peace is hanging with me, wow, the peace would be off the charts. It would be that peace that passes understanding, wouldn't it? Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." This emphasizes what we see there in that passage in Philippians. We have to remove stinking thinking. No, that popcorn smell you smell right now this morning wasn't what I was thinking of when I wrote this down, but it's funny how that happened, you know. Just how many of you noticed when you came in the building there was the smell of something, and you tried to, I was trying to figure it out on the platform earlier because they're apparently making popcorn for the kids in the back, and it wafted its way all the way out here. Yeah. Okay, we're done. Let's go eat. We have to get rid of stinking thinking. And so let's think together, if we can, about the way God would want us to think. What, for example, think with me, what does God want? Does God want good things, or does God want bad things? Good things. He's a good God. He wants good things. So if God wants something and it's good, should I want it or shouldn't I? Well, I think I want it. I think if God wants it, it's a good thing. And if it's a good thing, then I would probably want it. If I got half a brain, I would know that if it's a good thing and God wants it, I want it too. You've heard me say this before. God can't think of something stupid for you to do. So if we want what God wants, And if God is right, and God wants something, then we should want that something too. We should really be thinking, whatever it was I was thinking over here, that is now go away. Go away over here, because I want what God is thinking. I may have been thinking of something else, but God has better ideas than me. He always has better ideas than me. And it would be really stupid of me to want what I want over what God wants. Wouldn't it? I mean, why in the world would you do that? How could you possibly have a better idea than God? But sometimes I think I do. Oh, I've got an idea. Oh, this is going to be so good. Until it's not. So, I've been thinking about, we're all thinking about, is there anybody in this room who's unaware that there's an election coming up this week? Okay. Yeah. And I got to thinking about this, and I started taking this and juxtaposing it with that. Because that's going to affect us, right? We're all going to be affected whether we like it or not. So based on what I've been hearing about the upcoming election, no matter who wins, about half the people in the country are not going to get what they think they want. Right? Okay. What if I told you, no matter who wins, God's going to get what he wants? Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. God's going to get what he wants this week. Yeah, he is. Do God's people? You kind of see other people from besides this church. I know you guys are all perfect, but other churches, not. So do you know any people who aren't so sure that God's going to get what he wants this week? Do you think God's going to get what he wants this week? I do. I'm convinced that God is going to get what God wants. And since I want what God wants, I believe that I get what I want this week. Am I making you think too hard? See, I want what God wants, and God's going to get what he wants, so whatever happens, I'm going to get what I want. I will have one of two kinds of peace this week. Yeah, I will. I'll either have the peace that I understand because the guy I voted for won, or I'll have the peace that passes understanding because the guy I didn't vote for won. See? Either way, I can have peace. I can. So, what do we do next? I mean, what's God's plan in light of what we've just understood? That no matter what happens, God is going to take care of it. So in light of that, how do we behave? Back to Philippians 4:9. The things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Our peace continues as we continue to do, the things that God has shown us to do, that we've been taught to do by the Holy Spirit, that we've learned to do. We just continue to do what we are supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we walk with the God of peace. We walk with the God of peace by doing what the God of peace is doing next. It's like, okay, Tuesday or maybe Wednesday or Thursday or sometime in the next days or month or whatever, this gets sorted out. How many of you heard it? Might take a while. I'm not worried about it because God will sort it out. I might not have voted the way it goes, but God might be up to something. How many of you know God sometimes is up to something that we don't know he's up to? See, God has a very, very long plan. I am so thankful that God has long plans and has backup plans. We've talked about this before, because he has a long plan with me. That's why some of you have heard me say I'm going to live to be 180. The reason I'm going to live to be 180 is not because God thinks I'm better than everybody else, or, you know, I've got good genes or anything like that. The reason I'm going to live to be 180 is because it's going to take God that long to straighten me out. That's just how long it's going to take. Maybe not. With God, all things are possible. I've talked about that for a long time. Some of you still wonder what I really believe about that. I'm just going to leave you guessing. But I'm going to continue to do the things I've learned. I'm going to continue to do the things that I've received. I'm going to continue to do the things that I've seen in the lives of those who went before me in the scripture and in real life. I'm going to continue to do those things. And I believe the God of peace will be with me. And therefore, I will be in so much peace. And I'm going to continue to sow peace, scatter the seed of peace, no matter what happens. That's where I want to live. If you don't want to live in peace, this message is not for you. If you like being agitated, if you like running around with your hair on fire, if you like being driven crazy, if you like controversy, if you enjoy drama, this is probably not a message for you. Probably not going to work. Yeah, how many of you know some drama king or queen? They seem to live off of it. Yeah. I'm just saying, even to those people, this is better. Like, you've got this idea that drama is really, really what you want to, and the God of peace wants to walk with you instead and let you walk in peace. So our peace continues in strength as we faithfully continue in what we've been taught to do. It's pretty much that simple. I have voted in 11 different presidential elections. At the moment, my record is 6-5. I'm not a good predictor of it. Or you don't. How many of you know you don't vote because you're trying to be on the winning team? It's not like you do that anyway. Yeah, I'm 6-5. So 6 times the guy I thought should win, or that I voted for, won, and 5 times the other guy won. And the day after every election, I went back to doing what God called me to do. It's what I do. People without God maybe will do something different, but I will go back to what God called me to do. And I won't move. I'm not going to move to another country because I'm unhappy. Well, I'll take my toys and go somewhere else. My guy didn't get it. Or gal. So there are a lot of people who have no peace this week, just like there were a lot of people who had no peace in the last election. How many of you remember? 4 years ago. A lot of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Hell on earth for some people. I won't have hell on earth, no matter what happens. I'll have peace. I have the God of peace. I'm going to walk with the God of peace. It's going to be good. One of the most important things we can do is found in this text in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Jesus looked at the people as he was preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." I'm called to be a peacemaker. You are called to be a peacemaker. So this message is about the concept of sowing, as I mentioned at the beginning. And sometimes we need to help others to find peace. And as a result, then we reap peace, we harvest peace, because we reap what we sow, right? In 2008, I was flying home from a leader's advance in California just 2 days after the election. I think that was probably the first time that I ever voted absentee. But I voted absentee that year so I could get that done. And then I was at a conference. And it just so happened on my way home that I got seated next to a very nice black business lady. And we had an interesting conversation. And she told me that the election in 2008 when Barack Obama was elected president was a pretty powerful thing for her. And I'm sure it was for the black community in general. It gave a lot of people great hope. It gave her great hope. And it said to her that our nation had come a long way. And I think it was proof that our nation had come a long way. Some people think we've gone backwards since then. There may be truth in that too, but that's another subject for another time. Mr. Obama didn't get my vote. Just so you know, he didn't. I'm not saying that because I want to say anything negative about him. And the message that I gave that Sunday when I got home, because I was flying back on Thursday, I think it was, and the message that I gave that Sunday morning when I got back from that conference was, our president, our responsibility. I still have it on DVD and CD, MP3. It's available. I encouraged everyone to start praying for the president. I encourage that with every president. And I encouraged everybody that we need to take responsibility for asking God to bless and direct, to lead. There have been some people throughout history who God got a hold of who weren't necessarily the nicest people in the world, and still God was able to do things through them that he wanted to do. And sometimes I think God chose them specifically because he knew what he could do through them that he couldn't do through others. Nebuchadnezzar's a good one. That guy had issues. His issues had issues. But God used him. I don't think any president that I've ever seen has done everything right. And I don't believe that complaining about our leaders is the pathway to peace at all, either for us individually or as a country. I believe that every leader we have is gonna do stuff. I also believe, quite honestly, that most of them want to be remembered well and are probably trying not to screw it up too bad. I mean, the worst thing that could happen to anybody, I would think, would be to become president of the United States of America and then be the worst president ever. That'd be a sad thing. Ephesians 6, verses 14 through 15 says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We carry a gospel of peace. Or if you take the word gospel, you can say it this way. We carry the good news of peace. The good news of peace. God wants us to carry good news. So this week, when perhaps half the country will be in an uproar, it might be the time for us to be people of good news. All of you can probably think of friends, acquaintances, relatives, somebody who's going to be disappointed in a few days. I'd like to say 2 days or 3 days, whatever it is, but it might not be Tuesday. It might be Wednesday before we know, or who knows. Somebody's going to be disappointed. How many of you know people who already have had their hair on fire multiple times in preparation for this? Yeah, this isn't what happened to me right here. It's just a natural. Wasn't on fire. And you probably know people on both sides of the issues. Will you be the person who walks up with the presence of the God of peace on you? Will I be the person who can walk up and can people look at me and sense peace? And by the way, if your candidate wins and you're smirking, smirk and peace are not the same thing. So here's the reality. We can either let the God of peace work through us, or we can miss out on something really good. But I hope that we will be shelters in a time of storm. Because there are going to be people that are running around with their hair on fire, and what they need to run into is somebody who has a heart on fire. And if I can be really on fire, if there's really any time in this year so far that would be really good to be on fire in my heart, it'd probably be in the next few days. Because not only do we have this election, but the whole, you know, COVID thing is still making a lot of news and who knows what else. Luke 24 and verse 36 through 39 says, "Now when they heard these things," or when, "now they said these things," "now as they said these things," got to read all the words there, Tim. "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' And they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit." Do you know when this is taking place? Anybody got an idea? This is the upper room after Jesus had been crucified and they had gathered together. That's what's going on here. "They were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.'" We're all familiar with the idea of a doubting Thomas. But sometimes I think he got a bit of a bad rap because they all had their doubts. They all were really struggling when they first saw him. The first moment that he showed up, it wasn't like, "Wow, how cool is this?" It was like, "Whoa, that's really weird." It freaked him out. And I understand why. When Jesus showed up, though, he spoke peace and then he demonstrated peace. He gave them something they could touch and they could see, and he spoke to them and he connected with them. And there are going to be people that are going to need us to do that kind of stuff. This might be a glorious opportunity for someone to meet the God of peace, because you're walking with the God of peace and they come up to you and you've got peace and they're wondering how you got it. They're wondering, where'd you get that? How did you get a hold of that? Where'd that come from? Didn't you see what just happened? You know, I've been caught up in stuff before. You know, everybody's got stuff. Your lives have stuff, right? You got family members that have needs. We just found out last night that Lisa's sister, Michelle, was going in for something else, and in the process of going in for some other kind of a thing, surgery-wise, that she has a fatty liver that they called cirrhosis. And she's not a heavy drinker, but it runs in the family. And she's really responding well to it. She sent me a cool thing, if you're watching, Michelle. That was cool what you sent me on Facebook this morning. A lady talking about having, you know, peace and trusting God. It was just good. Just good. You know, we have that now that we're going to be praying about and thinking about. And we have other family members, you know, my dad and others that are going through stuff. And, you know, it's not always just, you know, tiptoe through the tulips. You all have stuff too, right? You've all got stuff. We need the God of peace to walk with us. Have you ever, though, been in that place where you had, like, you know, stuff coming at you? Like, we've got a little bit of stuff coming at you. You ever been in that place where you got stuff coming at you and somebody called you and they had stuff coming at them, and somehow you were able, maybe you don't do this, maybe it's just because I'm a pastor, but I've done this a lot of times. Somebody will call me and I'm dealing with my stuff, and I can even be a little bit in the, you know, mully grubs. You know those mully grubs, they're a block and a half south of down in the dumps. And I can be there, and I can be struggling, and they tell me there, and then I start quoting scripture to them. And I start talking to them about God and his goodness. And I start saying all these things. It's like, I can tell them about them, but I wasn't telling me about me. But once I told them about them, then it applied to me. And all of a sudden, I got encouraged. That's sowing and reaping right there. I sowed into their lives and I reaped into mine. And it didn't take long. It was awesome. So I reaped peace. I reaped confidence. I reaped trust. John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Last week when we were talking about anxiousness, being anxious, I mentioned, so if you will, this is kind of like part two of last week. I mentioned last week that God doesn't ask us to do something that we cannot do. I believe that if he asks us to do something or asks something of us, then he will give us the enablement to do what it is that he's asking us to do. He tells us that he's given us his peace. It's in here somewhere. Well, sometimes I do. I need to look for it. Sometimes I've been so caught up with everything else that I have forgotten to go find my peace. And right now I need a piece of peace. I need to go get a piece. He tells us to not be troubled or afraid. Sometimes that seems impossible. And then, like I said, I get the phone call. I'm troubled. And then I get the phone call and somebody else and I speak to them. And all of a sudden, I'm not even troubled anymore because I remember my peace. Because Jesus is my peace. And I can indeed do what he's telling me to do. I just need to remember that I can. I need to be reminded I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I need to be reminded. Philippians 4:13. Wasn't in my notes, but, you know. So here's the thing. In the next few days, perhaps weeks, I want to encourage you to be the one who walks in peace. And I want to encourage you to be the one, as they say in some churches, who passes the peace. And if you walk in peace and you're on the side where the guy you voted for didn't win, then all those people who are on the side of you where you didn't win, you can be life and light and love and peace to them. And if you haven't been too nasty to the people that are opposite you, and I hope you haven't, then you can be light and life and love to some of them. This is like Opportunity City coming up. And we can be the one who spreads peace. Yeah. This would be a good week to be a peace spreader. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for anybody who might be watching. Even if the election is passed and you're watching this, it'll have application down the road. Trust me. So let's pray. Father God, it is sometimes so easy to misplace our peace, probably because we misplaced our trust. So back to the beginning, Lord, we put our trust in you. We know that in all things you're working to our good. We know that you are God and you are the only God and there is no other. We know so many things, Lord, that can be brought to mind, the things that we've learned and that we've been taught, that we can bring back into our hearts and our minds so we can center ourselves and walk hand in hand with you, the God of peace. And we pray that this week, that your people, not just here, but everywhere, will rise up will rise up with the God of peace, walk the land, and be people who speak peace into a troubled world. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.